Did he commit historical sex offences?
I've not even looked into him. This is for Charles Hartree Plus, our sister podcast, isn't it?
Should we do it?
Yeah, come on. We're nearly halfway. Amazing, isn't it? And some things have definitely changed. Things that will never change back. It's similar to the popular BBC Two show Gone Fishing with Bob Mortimer and Paul Whitehouse. At the beginning, there's a vibrancy of two men who have cheated death by having various heart-saving operations. You get pulled along by their mental rebirth and see the sky as blue as they do. But by season five, however, you'll realise you're watching two men slowly being eaten by time, walking into a decrepit future, aided by the unstoppable pull of death. This is where we're at on Every Number One Ever. The jollity and the laughter has waned. The randomly selected music choices are now a genuine annoyance, and we're all on the cusp of mental and physical disability. This podcast used to be your highlight of the week. Now it just reminds you that the end is coming. The end is coming. Struggling to stand up after being on the toilet, it's Craig Lowe!
I'm here!
Oversleeping causes vertigo and consequently he's lost his driving license. Haven't you, Dr. Liam Maloney?
Death is inevitable.
How are we, lads? Are we okay?
I've stopped shitting and puking everywhere.
Do you know what? We do have... There is a tri-monthly swing back to the scatological. And I'm trying to edit out. But yeah, Liam has been dramatically... In only a way that Liam could be
the
unwell.
The word projectile. Yeah.
Yeah, in every sense. Helicopter projectile.
That's why we're repainting the kitchen. It was...
Oh, no! Machine! Today's machine, its name is...
Mouthful?
Keyboards of Canada.
Oh.
A Craig Lowe, I think.
Yeah, it was. That was a CL original.
A Craig Lowe. Yeah, Mouthful. I've made that mistake. I don't know. There's a kind of... there's a grouping of people who have an awful affliction of having a phobia of mouth noises, you know, like kind of loud eaters. Now, fortunately, I'm a very quiet eater, but I've got three olives left.
Oh, I hate an
in
olive.
A bowl. What?
Oh, yeah. You know, like all those things you hate as a
Become
kid.
Become a grown-up, Liam.
I know I'm not allowed joy anymore and I should eat olives.
Dirty martini. There's a dirty martini in this cup, believe it or not.
Let's do the show, shall we? And we're starting with me.
A good choice.
Wait. So my first number one this week is unique number one, 419.
You're gonna say it, or will I, Craig? That is some
good numbers.
Fucking numbers.
Yeah, but wait, there's more. The track was first number one on the 11th of February 1978, because apparently I'm inverting numbers in my head now.
God.
Yeah.
Good luck, everybody.
Yep. What month is it? Who knows? It's two, so it's February. I can do that one.
Well done.
Keyboards of Canada, do you have any more facts for me, please?
It's been...
A one-week wonder. Ooh. In 1978.
Ooh, a classic.
Yeah, so this doesn't have a Eurovision sting, but if we were being very generous, it could have a Eurovision sting. Any ideas?
I don't know, but can I just point out, I think if mem serves, isn't 78 one of the years that has got very few number ones?
Oh, that's a great question.
I think it's the year of Grease, and Grease takes out like 15, 16 weeks, doesn't it, with a few singles. So, right, to answer your question, no, I ain't got a fucking clue, but right.
You are correct, 1978, very low, I think.
ABBA won't have a one-week wonder, will it? Will they? Craig, what do you reckon? A bar?
Oh, I don't. I think it would be hard for them to have 1 week. But
yeah, same. Because it's
especially
like
that early. Early.
Yeah. Right, not Dana.
You're not, weirdly, with ABBA, you're not too far off, because this is very much a wanting to be ABBA moment.
What the fuck is this?
Una Paloma Blanca.
Any ideas?
This proves the point that ABBA was really hard to do.
ABBA couldn't do it most of the time.
I want to say Boney M, but...
Oh, you are... No, they're more British than that. They're not...
Brotherhood of Man.
Correct. Brotherhood of Man with...
Not a clue. I only know to save all your kisses.
Their final number one, which is Figaro. I'll just get straight into this. There's very little to commend this. It is a weak ABBA knockoff at best.
Just a bit.
Yeah, but it properly smacks of ABBA. It is absolutely that kind of COD. It's not Euro disco, because that's something that's, you know, valid. It's that it just sounds like a shit ABBA, and ABBA sounded like a shit ABBA half the time anyway.
How dare you?
Do you know what's even better? Craig, get on the single cover. Not only does it sound like a shit ABBA, it really looks like the shittest ABBA.
Well, it absolutely, though, there was something really kind of... There's one notable thing about this, I think, which is it sort of captures the late 1970s really accurately. The song's about... British kind of holiday makers heading off to Spain, and like your wife's mate going off. Sorry, your mate's wife going off with a Spanish cabaret singer called Figaro. Beware, girls, he's coming for you. It smacks of a key party, frankly. It's condoms in a bowl and neon wallpaper, but there is absolutely nothing apart from that to recommend it. It's an interesting artifact of 70s package holidays. Is that valid inclusion criteria?
As somebody who has a collection of Tenerife and Benidorm records that I've picked up from the charity shop, and also the Greek islands, if I'm feeling a little bit saucy.
No, this is bullshit. This is fucking bullshit, you don't.
I do. If you want me to prove it, I will take some pictures later. I have about five
Please
or six.
Please do. Nothing says Patreon like Craig's collection of Hawaiian and Greek fucking records, whatever it was.
To give an explanation, it was a COVID thing, because deep in the darkest days...
you
of,
lost your mind.
Of in the deepest, darkest days of shielding, where we were literally just two newborn parents stuck in the house with a pre-1-year-old, and we needed to do something, we would order interesting foods, we would make recipes, and we would put like just generic music on the record players and have, here's a Spanish night, we'll have a tapas night, and here's a Turkish night, we'll make some, and I bought a stack of these random records that you find in every charity shop that are just 73 souvenir Benidorm, and they're wonderful.
God. I want all of them, full pictures please.
Indeed.
Besides soundtracking a Julie Walters' side project in the late 70s, does this do anything for you?
Oh, God, no. To quote Douglas Adams, it's mostly harmless.
Nice. ML?
Nah.
Nah.
What he said. I mean, it's a waste of fucking breath. Move on.
Yeah, it proper is. In that case, then, let's crack on and go for my second number one of the week. This is unique number one, 32.
Oofy doofy.
Testing the boundaries of acceptability.
Bad numbers. Get them in the bin.
This I've got to say something, though. This is at least a strange one for early on. It's not a kind of torch songy, croonery moaner. There's something really odd about this more than anything else.
Some Jamaican dancehall coming our way.
Not quite. Wrong continent, but let's crack up. So this is unique number 132. It was number one for 2 weeks, starting the 29th of April, 1955. So we're on an early one. Any facts more for me, that band who no one remembers on what records? No. Campfire Head Phase was cool, though. Let's dive in. Here we go. You don't know this song. You know, like, I'm gonna sometimes, oh, can you guess what it is? You straight up don't know what this is.
Is it Jimmy Stevens and the Horse Trotters?
Yeah, Bob on.
Is this? Oh, hello.
Hello!
South America. What do you have for tea, Craig? Tacos!
That is the Horse Trotters with... Pérez Prado and Cherry Pink and Apple Blossom White.
Why do I know that name, Liam?
Oh, Guaglione, I think. The one that the Guinness... I think that was him. Yep.
Yep.
He's been sampled bucket loads as well. But instrumental track. There is originally lyrics to this. It's a French song originally, but it's kind of been given a mambo twist by Mr. Prado. And there's only really one thing that makes this anything worth discussing, and it is the trumpet. It happens about six times. At the start of the, quote, verse, it goes... This
it's
is it.
Like he's here. It's like he's here.
Well, what I've done for you to evidence this, I've done a little comp. I've put them all together. And I hope you enjoy this little.
This is going to be too much.
Compilation of Pérez Prado.
Slowly going down.
It's definitely a bit.
So I don't know what you want to do with that. It's to be honest, out of the stuff that comes out of the 50s, this is one of the better tracks. This has got a bit of a mambo feel to it. It's this I would expect to be on
your
50s
defense. Like you're some sort of like this is some sort of communist trial. Get it in the bin. Absolute nonsense.
Fuck me.
I was going to say, is you defending
you
fucking Brotherhood of
fucking
Man?
Fucking Brotherhood of Man? And you something, you get something genuine, and you're like, nah!
Don't give me genuine after the little mixtape that Liam's just played us.
I think you shot yourself in the foot there, Liam. I think we might have softened it, but... Note to self, Craig does not like repetition.
should I crack on there? In fact, a quick kitchen locale, where are we?
I'm lay under the table. I don't know what that says.
Can it be saved?
Yeah.
Anything can be saved, I mean, given enough time, but...
given enough time.
And that's when he lost his job at the lifeboats. Right.
Right, okay then, let's do my last one. So this is unique number 120.
Oh, God.
So even earlier. Let's see if we've got any facts for this.
It's been...
A one-week wonder in the 50s. Amazing. Although it's kind of interesting that this was actually a one-week wonder. But yeah, unique number 120. It was first number one on the 30th of April 1954, exactly a year and a day before Pérez Prado. And this gentleman's been on the pod before. Do we remember any kind of 50s heartthrobs who were closet homosexuals?
Right, Gret the
I mean,
list.
The list goes on.
Knock Rock Hudson. I'll do that one for you. I'm gonna play it you, and then I'm gonna play it you again, and I want you to listen to it in a different way the second time.
It was a night. What a night it was! It really was such a night. The moon was bright. Ooh, how bright it was! It really was such a night. The night was alive.
Ride night. Four times so far. We've done well.
This is Johnny Ray.
Poor old Johnny Ray.
Johnny Ray.
Exactly. This is originally a Drifters tune. It's called Such a Night. The Drifters version is actually not too bad. However, here it's delivered by Johnny as if he's on stage and suddenly his early onset Alzheimer's has kicked in hard. So I would like you to listen to what we just heard one more time and imagine that scenario.
Was a night, what a night it was, it really was such a night. The moon was bright, ooh, how bright it was, it really was such a night. The night was alive.
Just night, night, bright moon, night, night. It's just, no, it wasn't strong. We already met Johnny back in episode 57. He got dragged into the Pantheon along with Snaps the Power.
No worries, wow. He's not getting dragged in this week.
But he was an alcoholic. I don't know what else to tell you.
I just think, read the room here, mate.
Yeah, we're not feeling it, lads.
But, right, can I say, this is a really weird one, that all three of them are kind of non-needle movers. But, so what I'm suggesting here is, there's not enough to drag them in. There's nothing to take them in. You've put them on the table, and they've neither gone in the fridge or the bin, they're just still there. So I fancy my chances.
So they're just rotting, do you think? Just sat on the table, gently decomposing.
Just there forever. Yeah. We're just going to set the cutlery up around them. Pretend they're not there. Like a mother-in-law at Christmas.
Amazing. Okay, so are we on a Unana bin then, boys?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolute non-needle movers in that case then. Yeah. Into the bin they go.
That's right, isn't it? They're not rubbish, they're just...
That Brotherhood of Man tune is pap.
Let's file them all under Liam's favourite catch-all term. They're all a bit novelty.
I don't even think... They're all just very much like also ran. You know, just sort of...
I don't know what... Cod reggae in the late 70s, bossa nova when it's not particularly popular, and Alzheimer's.
He's got reggae for it. Alzheimer's. It's fucking cod reggae. And Alzheimer's. Fuck me. Right, what have we got?
Right, let's dive in. Here we go.
Keep feeling fascination by the human leg.
Human leg indeed.
It's a win. It's a definite win.
That is a win, isn't it?
Mm.
Compared to Johnny Ray forgetting the English language.
Can I be really picky with that song, though?
Pick away, my love.
That fucking synth line goes on way too long.
No.
They don't give it enough break. You should do it four reps, drop it, four reps back, but it just goes and goes and goes.
It is a bit.
Good song, though.
Yes, absolutely. And definitely not a Cucumber Castle moment. I had a lovely message from one of our devoted listeners, Hannah Griffiths, and she was talking about how her dad was playing Cucumber Castle at her the other day.
That's the only way it can be played, unfortunately.
You're in our... She's in
on
our
the
thoughts.
Offensive.
Shall we move on?
Yeah.
Excellent stuff. Next up, we have Mr. Leonard.
Okay. All right, first up, we've got unique number 1239. Yeah, that doesn't work, does it?
Ooh.
2 weeks at number one in 2013, September. Do you remember... 2013 September, keyboard to Canada. Do we have any stings for this one, please? No stings for this, and quite literally, no need for me to introduce.
Why is that?
Jason.
Jason Derulo. Oh.
That's why.
I'm that flight that you get on.
Stop it!
You wouldn't kick him out of bed for farting, though, would you?
Well, yeah, because he'd just get in bed and scream his name at you. You'd be laying bed, right? So the right.
What is this? Sorry, what is this?
Oh, sorry, it's Jason Derulo featuring 2 Chainz with a Z with their song "Talk Dirty." Yeah, it's a sex jam. We'll get there. Right. So you've no. In fact, I'm not gonna do a role play of Jason Derulo snuggling into bed with you. I'm not gonna do
just
that.
Just screaming his own name into your face.
So. I know what you're thinking. He said his name at the top of the song. He's done that before. Yes, in the last episode, I am a Derulo magnet. We decided then that this usually signals bin sound effect, but let's have a closer look. Jason Joel Derulo, all 34 years of him, describes this song as shocking and out there and felt that listeners would be thinking, really? This is supposed to be one sexy as hell song. What it actually equates to is a man with his hands down his pants thinking about a girl that he once talked to when he was on a stag do in Benidorm. Spin magazine described the music portion of this imposition as creating, and I quote, polyglot / clusterfuck pop atmosphere. That is certainly a description. It has a hi-hat heavy beat, little instrumentation, and a scene-stealing sax, says ML. And lyrically, well, we learn so much. JD wants to get jazzy on them. He has lipstick stamps on his passport. He believes the lady's booty does not need explaining. But wait, there's more. There's a featuring rapper. Brilliant! This'll lift the song. Right, Craig, this is where you're up. Okay, Sunshine.
Okay.
So I'm just going to take a stanza of this song.
Excellent.
And I want you to take your time with this. If you could just read this out as a found poem.
Why, certainly. Dos Candinas. Close. To genius. Sold out arenas. You can suck my penis. Gilbert Arenas, guns on deck. Chest to chest. Tongue on neck. International oral sex.
Now, I like a sex jam, but here, well, this is hard to like. This is really rank. On a positive note, I think it's really, really, really fucking funny. And Derulo, easy for me to say, was right. This listener is thinking, really? Liam, any views on Talk Dirty by Jason Derulo?
Can I hear a bit of the chorus? Would that be okay?
With pleasure. Your pleasure, not mine.
Talk dirty to me.
Oh, it's this fucker.
Right.
Scene stealing sax.
Yeah, it just sounds like someone's just... I can't say what I was about to say then.
it sounds like it's from Prez Prado from the last... From Your Choices.
It just does... It doesn't sound very good, I don't think.
No, well, what...
doesn't sound like someone's...
What it is, unfortunately, is Derulo showing his plagiarist side because just a few months previously to this, Macklemore and Ryan Lewis released Thrift Shop, which had a very, very similar saxophone line, done far superiorly and with a better rapper.
And it doesn't offend. It's just there's not much to...
Doesn't offend? Suck my penis.
I mean, lyrically, Liam, lyrically, it leaves a lot. I think we're going to have to do a 101 one day about sex in... number one songs, because it needs, in many respects on this, a light touch.
you don't want to be too rough.
You know, if you lay bare exactly what you're thinking without any metaphor or anything, and you come out with sold out arenas, you can suck my penis. You know?
Yeah, fair.
This ain't great, is it? So,
It's not the worst thing we've had on the show already, though, this week.
No, it's fucking funny, though. Jesus, it's so funny, this. And especially with the sax. It's the fact that it aims for sexy and it gets the diametric opposite, but not in a disgusting way.
It goes more
way.
Benny Hill. It goes a bit more yakety sack than...
There's a remix there, isn't there, mate?
Absolutely.
There's a remix there. Right, okay. I'm going to show you my second... how'd you get to Lee from Bolton, guys?
582
indeed. Number one on in December 1986. Any more information before we move on? You know what that means.
It's been
1 week.
Good numbers.
At the top of the charts. Right. Let's see how your sad music knowledge is. Okay. So this was a 1 week wonder on the 20th of December 1986. So it's not the Christmas number one, but it's a song that just missed out on Christmas number one. 1986. If I give you what was the Christmas number one, do you think you'll get it?
Try. Go on, hit me.
Jackie Wilson, Reaper Teat.
Oh, God. What would it have been?
No, not a Scooby.
No, go.
Hit play.
It's Caravana Love.
Are you ready? Are you ready to suck my penis?
International
welcome,
oral sex.
International. Can we just go? What? What's the difference?
Paul Heaton. Right.
It is, yeah. Paul Heaton and Mr. Norman
Cook. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And Stan Cullimore, not Collymore. And the drummer. Welcome to a perfect example of me going to bat for a band rather than a song. Now, there's nothing wrong with this a cappella reading of the Isley Brothers adjacent songs. Not the Isley Brothers, but it's Isley Brothers adjacent. It was only released the year before this, by the way, 1985. Right. Yeah. In its own way, an a cappella song getting to the top this late in the 80s days, subverses of enough. Nod to that. There had been a previous a cappella number one in this decade. Can you name it, lads? Afterwards. And in fact, does that have some instrumentation? No, it doesn't. Right, no. So 1983. You know what? There's too much of a pop quiz, this, isn't
Go
it?
Go on.
Flying Pickets, only you.
Wouldn't have got that.
Paul Heaton changes a lyric to give a song a little bit of geographical purpose. The original read, "The world in which we were born." This House Martins version has, "The place in which we were born, so neglected and torn apart. Thatcher's Britain!" And a reminder to pull together in hope at Christmas. Cruelly, cruelly, note the verb, cruelly kept off number one on the big day by Jackie Wilson's Reet Petite. Do we need another explainer on why this was not Christmas number one? I think I've come up with a simpler way rather than our print medium one.
See episode zero.
People, well, no, I don't think we explain it in episode zero. I'm sure it's like episode 10 or something. Basically, we people get confused over the print versus actual Christmas number one. The charts, and I think I make this mistake more than anyone. The charts are a retrospective look when they're printed. I think everyone thinks, yes, that is now popular for the next 7 days. No, it is what has been popular. So look at it this way, that the charts are released on a Friday, printed on a Saturday. So whatever week Christmas Day is in, the Christmas number one is announced the Saturday of that week. Okay, do you get that?
Yes.
Good. Anyway, bit of a positive nod from me about the House Martins are one of the most wonderful underrated pop acts, and I'm sure I did a defence of the House Martins on the long pod. I might put that up on Patreon. There you go. Right, Greg.
Greg, I like Me and the Farmer as well, but I have never, ever, ever been a fan of this at all. I don't know what it is. It's disingenuous to what the House Martins were. It screams to me as a cash-in to get a Christmas. I mean, it's got Christmas sentimentality written all over it. It's a John Lewis song before it's a John Lewis song.
Paul Heaton is running downhill. He lives in Norwich, mate. Oh, he's got a massive golden fist. Hang on.
Give me a sec.
Yeah, yeah. Deal with what you need to deal with. But can I just point out, while Craig is away from the headphones, how the a cappella notion of this song comes about? Because when they were on tour, they used to sing a cappella in the back of the van, so it didn't really come.
Yeah. No, it screams B-side. It screams. We recorded this as a bit of fun in the studio, yeah. And you went, you know what? Christmas coming up, lads. What's coming out? Oh, it's only that fucking repress of Reet Petit. That's never going to beat us. Let's get this sentimental bullshit out of the window. No, I have a lot of time for Paul Heaton. I think House of Martins are excellent. I think Beautiful South are near perfection for the first half of the career. And I've got a lot of time for the stuff he's done recently with Jackie Abbott as well. I think he's a great lyricist. I think he's a phenomenal singer. I think that this is pants.
Liam?
All there is to say from me is that this is maintaining Norman Cook's standard of only being able to achieve a number one in once in each of his guises. He had one as the House Martins, he had one as Fatboy Slim, and one as Beats International. He can only do one number one per name.
I'm so annoyed that Freak Power never made it.
I know, it would have been so great, annoyed. Right? But this is fine. I've always had a bit of a soft spot for this tune. I think it's fine. And I always remember, like, in kind of the late 90s, all those sort of Talking Heads, Remember the 80s kind of programs, would always show you that fucking clip from this song where they're in the church, and it's like, did you know Norman Cook, a.k.a. Fatboy Slim, was in the House Martins? Like, yes. Fuck off. I always say that, but you know, I've got a bit of a soft spot for this. It's I am currently on a soft keep.
Wow, that answers that. Craig, where are you, mate? Derulo wanking and House Martins.
Yeah, soft bin at the moment for me.
All to play for, though?
Certainly.
All to play for. Okay. I mean, Derulo could still sneak in, Jason Derulo.
He could. Oh, I think there's a big cat and some pigeons going on here.
Oh, really?
That's about to happen, yeah. Well, I'm feeling quite negative as I introduce unit number one. 10:21! 20 past 10. Or just past. October 2005. Where were you? Just after my birthday. So it was 2005. I was probably still drunk. Sting me for this one, please, Liam.
It's been
another 1 week wonder.
1 week in 2005.
If you're gonna list notable 1 week wonders from the decade, this one probably still rings down the ages. If you don't mind, Mr. Maloney, press play.
Oh, I bet you look good on the dance floor.
It's a ballistic opener, that, isn't it? Like, as a way to, like, plant a flag. That's quite a...
That's already more positive than as I was expecting. Arctic Monkeys, I bet you look good on the dance floor. Their debut, only a short bit on this. Let me blast through it and then I'll hand over to the floor. There is a view espoused by former Enemy editor Connor McNicholas that this was the song that sunk the Enemy for good. And it's got a good point. In 1977, punk happened and you read all about it in the music weeklies and the fanzines. And if we ignore Britpop, because as McNicholas said, that was more of a tabloid conversation, the last big hurrah or harumph, depending on your view, was the scene without a scene, White Stripes, Strokes, Libertines era. That was the last time the Enemy owned the conversation. And then in 2005, this, the Arctic Monkeys debut single, it was already talked about in the music press because the lads had created their buzz without the music press on this new internet thing through MySpace. The Enemy were just like the rest of us, just looking at these guys going, where the fuck did these come from? And this meteoric rise took them right to the top of the charts. The old gatekeepers no longer directed attention. This point aside, there's still plenty to like here, really. It's the follow-up number one that I prefer, but as Liam's already alluded to, what a way to kick down the door, boisterous, loud, and as close as we have had to the sound of what was actually happening on the streets at the time, because this was what it was. Good on him, I say. And this is a medium keep. And Jason Derulo, you can thank me later. My pants are already down. Craig, where's this leave you?
This is the song that they could never top. This is the best song that they... This is the song with most statement that the Arctic Monkeys ever recorded. Now I know that they've recorded good songs since, but I remember being sat in a bar in Derby, pretty drunk, and this coming on, the video for this coming on the video jukebox, and it nearly knocked me off my fucking seat. It really did. And I was never impressed with the rest of the output. I didn't think that there was anything as strong as this on that first album. Fair play
it's
to them.
Record.
It is a very good record, good but record. This is very... There's a reason that this is the song that launched them, because it is the best song that they had in the canon at the time. Certainly the most popular. I would say the highest...
Craig, I can't find a flaw in your argument. They recorded this song four times before they... Four different studios. Before they got the one that they were happy with.
Yeah, the absolute perfection. And yes, they are indie darlings now. I don't see them as like a massive... although they are, and I'm sure they are. I'm sure that they've had... Every album's gone number one and multi-platinum and all the rest of it. But I never think of the Arctic Monkeys other than that band at the same time as the Strokes that look good on the dance floor.
Mr. Maloney.
Three things. I think we can all agree easily this song is overplayed, irrespective of your opinion on it. It is too prevalent. Fine. We've had songs like that already on the pod. Fine. Secondly, I think it's weird that this gets lumped with the post-punk revival period, which it sort of does, according to Wiki, it does anyway, which I think is quite surprising and I don't agree with, but by the way. What this did do, though, is... this was a canary in the coal mine, and for me, this is the birth, alongside Franz Ferdinand, of landfill indie. And that's not to actually berate this tune, it's that this tune was one of those tunes that was so big and so influential, and the MySpace thing was a big part of that, that it kind of caused more ripples than this song was actually worthy of causing, I think. The idea of it is worse than the actual reality of it, I think. The fallout from it is worse than the bomb itself.
No, I think this made rock fun again. I mean, after 6-7 years of navel-gazing indie, you then got bands like Maximo Park off the tail end of this that were more high energy, more fun and more danceable.
But it was all very much of a muchness by the end, wasn't it? I'm not saying that... like what I say is, it's not this song that's the problem. It's this song is a bit of a harbinger. It's still a really good tune.
If you don't like the genre, I think any song this big would be a harbinger. But I think if you like the genre, it is definitely the sign of things to come and greater things that followed.
I don't want to take us too far away from what we're talking about here, but I think if you look at what you're saying there, Liam, and what I referenced in the write-up, which is this was a real kind of change from, you know, they were possibly, I need to push on this argument from Connor McNichols, that they were the first people to just do it by themselves and not come through the top-down tastemaker thing.
That was Sandy Tom.
I think there was a desperation from bands and from record labels and from the media going, we need to get control of this. We need to get control of this. We need to find everyone. You know, like, who sounds the same, and, you know, so I think you're probably right. I think rather than it creating landfill indie, I think it sent people out to just grab people who looked like they could like that, you know, just because when it comes down to it, why do people do this? Why do record labels do this? Why do the media do this? Because they just want to ride the coattails and get some dollar off the back of what is successful.
Yeah, it's just, oh God, like, stuff like this happens and then you get fucking Chelsea Dagger as a response to it. And
I will hear not a bad thing about the Fratellis as somebody who owns every album, including the ones that they are still releasing. They are a fabulous band.
Before I ask Liam and Craig where they go, I'm just going to have a quick last post for Landfill Indie. Bromhead's Jacket.
Yeah.
The Automatic. Las Vegas. Sorry, lads. The Wombats.
Definitely.
Milburn.
Who?
The View.
Yeah.
The Enemy.
The View were better than that.
Yeah.
The Cribs.
Definitely.
The Zootons.
Definitely.
The Kooks.
Yeah.
The Maccabees.
Oh, certainly.
The Ordinary Boys.
Preston. Wow, Preston.
They're not on this list, but fuck it. Baby Shambles.
Definitely.
I'm waiting for one other band in particular. I'm
Dirty Pretty Things. The Cribs. Cortinas.
Yep.
The Kooks.
Yep.
Craig, no?
No, I think I'm probably earlier in the alphabet in my list.
Right, go and add it.
The Feeling.
Yeah.
The Feeling.
Sunshine Fucking Underground, The Pigeon Detectives, Future Heads, all of it.
Oh, Future Heads album is one of the best debut albums ever made. Anyway, that
Razor
was Landfill Indie.
Fucking Light.
There we go. That was Landfill Indie. I've been Matthew Leonard. I'm on a medium keep. Craig Law, where are you?
Liam, where are you?
Oh, I'm on.
Go on.
I'm on a hard keep.
Oh, well, Craig, let's make it three. Let's make it three.
Did not go how I thought.
There was no way Dance Floor was ever going in the middle.
No, absolutely not.
You did. I honestly thought you two would hear that, and I thought I'd get this face. Sorry, listeners. I thought I'd get this.
Nah.
I thought I'd get this.
Probably any other Arctic Monkey song, you probably would have got that, but that
well,
one...
Well, we're only going to get two. We've had them both, and they're both in.
Excellent. Right, draw a line under the monkeys then.
Unless they get another number one. Sorry, guys.
That's not what?
Shall we move on and do Mr. Load? Seconds round the final.
Come on.
Yeah.
Big size, buckle in.
We've had such a good week, though.
Yeah, no, it could go either way, this one, but it's only going to go one way. My first number one this week is Unique, number one, number 1074. This was number one for 2 weeks, from the 14th of June in the year of our Lord, 2008. Before we go any further, Keyboards of Canada Music has the right to fact. This has been really hard this week, because even though I've listened to quite a lot of Keyboards of Canada, it's one of those bands where you just put it on. And you are aware that I'm sure that there are names to every track, but all it is it's that ambient one and that slightly more ambient one. So it's just like, oh, that's not what that's called, right? Wonderful. yeah, nothing, nada, zip. You'll get this in 3 seconds. And we should really, it's a bit late in the game for it now, but there should really have been a sting for this particular category.
Oh, is it that Mint Royale one?
It drops at 21 seconds if you're interested. But...
Well, tell us what the category should have been, mate.
TV ads. Yes, this is Mint Royale. This is Mint Royale's cat walking across the keyboard while a classic movie plays in the background, made famous by the Volkswagen TV ad of the time, which, from memory serves, was somebody doing some breakdancing with a face superimposed over the top of it in a really bad early CG way.
Was it Gene Kelly?
Yes.
Yeah. Really scary as well.
This has absolutely zero of notes. In fact, it might as well, the whole singing in the rain gimmick seems tacked on, because about 30 seconds after you press stop there, it just goes into its own little beat and dance and has nothing really related to singing in the rain at all until towards the end, where you get do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do again. Made famous by 30 seconds of a TV ad. How many times have we seen that with these songs? This is really poor late noughties garbage.
Any views, Liam?
It's not as good as I remember it by a long shot, that.
Nope, I remember it being really good. And as soon as I pressed play, I was like, wow, this has got no bollocks to it whatsoever.
I remember not being a fan of it at the time, but it's shitter than I remember it being. yeah, God, it's ruining a beautiful song as well.
Well, Mint Royale did peak with their remix of Teela.
It's a tune.
Manchester lads or lad, Mint Royale?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, I'm not sure.
Just a note.
Yeah, quite possibly. Sure.
From Manchester, one of them is. I cannot bring myself to give a shit about this. I want to say something nice about it, but there's just nothing. Not a sausage.
Well, shall we? Shall we?
Yeah, let's move on swiftly to better numbers. Better numbers that Matt will like and Liam will hate. This is unique number one, number 404. This was number one for five whole weeks from the 2nd of April of 1977.
Yes! Well done, Mr. Leonard. Yes, I got one, finally.
And again, this will be a very easy get. Like I say, definitely a no-no from Liam here, but press play.
Thank you. Oh! Oh! Right.
No more care. I'm not a fan of Brotherhood of Man.
Aha! It's ABBA with Knowing Me, Knowing You.
I have got proper beef with Coogan because of this.
Uh-huh.
And it's after me and Craig did Long Play Replay, it dawned on me that this is one of the best slices of pop opera that has ever existed. Nope. It's wonderful, Maloney. It's wonderful. And there's Coogs going, aha, stick it up, yeah, wank. Go on, Craig.
Obviously, this is ABBA, Knowing Me, Knowing You. The only note I really have of this, which is unfair, but I'll say it anyway.
It's never stopped us.
For every fun ABBA song like Mamma Mia, you get the flip side, which is I Want to Kill Myself breakup song.
But with some panache.
Indeed. I mean, if ABBA could write a fucking song, I mean, there's no doubt in that at all, unless your name's Liam Maloney. But...
Yeah. You ready for me?
Yeah, yeah, oh, fucking damn right. Both feet,
loaded,
please.
Locked
both
and loaded. Feet.
It is the aha about this song that I particularly hate. It's not because of Coogan. It's because it goes on for about a week and a half. And it's never ending. Knowing me, knowing you. Aha.
There is some... Nah, see.
It just goes on and
now
on.
The elephant back to trunk.
It's like a it's like a fucking shepherd tone. It makes me itch. I hate it. Like, oh, God. I'd kick...
ABBA hater hates ABBA.
End that.
What did you say?
It doesn't matter, end it.
He'd kick them off.
Kick all of them. I'd kick
In Swedish, that's Bron, because I watched
the bridge.
Scandi drama. Right, there is a bit in this song that I think is... Right, so I'm discounting you here, Liam, but I think it's the best of ABBA. And it's the bit that goes from the verse and takes us into the bridge. Into
Breaking up is never easy.
Do you know what? I'm not going to get Liam to play it because that's cruel. It's this bit here. I'm being put off, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, by the visual boredom aids that Liam is using.
Just having a read. So,
he's picked up a book, and in the man from CNA type way, he's aiming his reading down the camera at us.
Weaponized literature.
Did you just call Liam a weapon? Right. I would say this is top three ABBA. Liam hates it. Craig?
I mean, it's top 10 ABBA.
Okay.
I'm gone.
We going on two?
Gone on two.
Oh, there we go. We've lost him. We've lost him down the tubes.
It's like the Beatles all over again.
In the bin.
Not even Dancing Queen.
So no. this would be a rarity. Dancing Queen, I can almost forgive Liam for. This one, Right, Craig, what's bringing up your third in our two-way conversation?
And my final number one this week is unique number one for...
Amazing.
Hello, single digits. It's me again, Craig. Before we go any further,
am so upset.
Keyboard of Canada, can you give me tomorrow's facts?
It's been.
This is indeed a 1 week wonder from the 30th of January in the year of our Lord, 1953.
Gorgeously rolled.
Oofy, 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 doofy. Press play.
I pass your house with misty eyes. There stands the gate.
Bye, Benny and Bjorn.
This is, of course, Eddie Fisher with his best-selling song, Outside of Heaven. Fun fact! In December of 1952, this peaked at number 2 in the sheet music charts.
I am all for that.
I mean, this one's going to take some serious defending.
Kiddo.
Sway me, Matthew. Sway me.
I don't think I can. I just don't think I can. I mean, I thought it was really funny. It's a great intro, isn't it? Because there was a bit where I was like, Liam, how verbose is this intro? And then he starts like a kind of badly started bagpipe.
It's Perez Prado.
Yeah. Oh, no, that was good. Right. So,
right?
I mean, yeah. Literally, I can't win over this. But what I will say, I'm going to give you my result. I'm going to hand you my result.
Okay.
Knowing me, knowing you is one that I had my eye on. I honestly think it should be in the best of music, so it shall go in. Taking... on its way. Because I think it is the best of ABBA, thus the best of 70s music. Makes it one all. Hey, it's almost like it's a setup.
Craig, is this good enough?
Hang on. Desperation.
Whoa. Craig, you can't hear him because he's already in the bin.
I don't think that's the way it works.
Inadmissible evidence.
See, this is one of those moments where I remember all the times Liam shafted me. And I wave my fist at the camera and go, next time, gadget. And this is my chance to finally set right some wrongs, but I can't because Mint Royale is an absolute big bag of turds. And that Eddie Fisher song deserves to be in the bin. A slightly better ABBA song, in my opinion,
there's only would have two carried it. No, I mean, I think people have thrown their portable listening devices into the river this morning. And the thing is, half of them don't live near rivers. That's how far they've thrown them.
I'm fully deserving of a cucumber castle here. I am well aware.
Let's see where we're going. We're really not. Like, let's be honest.
No, Liam, you're not.
No, if we take Abra out the equation, those two songs were not good. Mint Royale was garbage, and Eddie Fisher was garbage, and we have had bigger whales that have dragged
I don't think Mint Royale was garbage. I think what are you two said it actually. It's just like I thought that was going to be better, and it wasn't.
I mean, it's that's slightly unfair because it's more like two garbage cans with international oral sex sandwiched in the middle.
I'm going to play you number two.
Stop, whoa, yes, wait a minute. I'll take it. Wait. It's not a cucumber castle. It's better than Mint Royale, and it's better than Eddie Fisher.
I think that's
our first... not better than ABBA, though.
I think that's our first meeting with Karen, isn't it?
Oh, love.
Fucking hell, Matt.
It's a bit cold.
Christ. What I'll do, listeners, is I'll just beep those two, and you can guess what horrifically offensive things we said
God,
there.
God, boys.
No, seriously, though. Yeah, welcome, Kaz K. KC and the Sunshine Band. But still, knowing me, knowing you should be in the best of music, I am gutted.
At least it wasn't unanimous. If that makes you feel better.
Yeah, great.
In that case, shall we rap?
I think we should.
Yeah.
Before fisticuffs and shoot.
I'm sorry, listener. I really like ABBA as well. ABBA Gold's really good. Even ABBA's Greatest Hits Volume 2, I really rate. I mean, it's good. It's not ABBA Gold, but hell, I'll do it. But what did you think? Did you think that ABBA deserved to go in the bin? Did you think that Mint Royale salvaged one of the classic bits of pop music and should have stayed? Please let us know by visiting www.everynumberoneever.com, where you'll find a link tree to all our various social medias and websites and email addresses and postal addresses and my mum's maiden name.
you also, proper made yourself giggle then, didn't you?
All happened to me was my brain tried to guess Craig's mum maiden name. Just loads of names just went through my head.
Answers on a postcard.
I don't think it's Arctics.
Also, if you feel like throwing a couple of pennies our way, head over to patreon.com/ENOE podcast, where you'll find a plethora of extra content, including extra podcasts. You'll find news and reviews, you'll find playlists, you'll find all sorts on there. So if you fancy keeping the lights on this whole charade, please head over there. And that only leaves me with one thing left to say. Liam, why do you hate ABBA so much?
Because I'm sane. So into the Pantheon this week went only a couple of things. We have the Human League's Fascination as a number two, sounding pap. But it is correct, apparently. We had Jason Derulo and his Anaconda.
Derulo!
House Martins, a.k.a. Fat Boy Slim, and The Beautiful South. Worst collaboration ever. With Caravan of Love and I Bet You Look Good on the Dance Floor by the Arctic Monkeys. It's also the Arctic Monkeys, which I always thought was really odd.
Well, actually, should we just
like,
say...
Like the role...
Just, do you know when bands get really famous, you don't really take notice of what they're called. They're just, it's just words.
Yes.
Arctic Monkeys is a terrible name, isn't it?
Yeah, I always thought it was Arctic awful. As in like articulated lorry. That I thought that would have been slightly better. Like some kind of monkeys being shipped across international lines. But that's by the by. And finally, also The Carpenters. Karen and her brother making it into the Pantheon for the first and perhaps only time with their, frankly, fucking
definitely
dross Marvelettes cover of Please Mr. Postman. In Marvelettes? Supremes? Marvelettes, I think.
Tomato, tomato?
Thankfully, we have lost many dreadful things. Yes, it is the Marvelettes. That's what's going insane. We have lost Brotherhood of Man's Figaro, so you just have to imagine the sound of your Auntie Marge getting fingered by Polo. Pérez Prado's...
Too much sangria.
I'm on shit sangria now because it was all we had in the fridge. It was awesome. Perith Prado with cherry pink and apple blossom white. Sounding like a police siren coming for you. Johnny Ray's Such a Night and his memory problems have all hit the bin hard, as have Manchester Lad, Mint Royale, he never did better than Terrorvision's Tequila. Eddie Fisher's Outside of Heaven, which we spent about 3 seconds validating. And then
that's
ABBA's...
probably 2 seconds longer than it deserved.
Knowing me, knowing you. Uh-huh.
Now the alphabet to chunk and take a bite of the sound.
Thanks, Liam.
Pleasure.
I hope you've... I hope you've had a lovely day.
It's good for me to get out, isn't it?
It is. Into this park. Thank you, Craig. Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's been a day, an episode, nay, a life of ups and downs. And the cruelty of the game has been writ large. But I think one thing we can agree on playing out with this week, which I'm surprised at myself, but hey, there you go. Was the Arctic Monkeys debut single, I Bet You Look Good on the Dance Floor. And listener, I bet you look good on the dance floor and in the bath. Right, be well, have a good week, drive safely, drink responsibly but copiously, and we'll see you next Monday. Goodbye.
We don't have a bath. Ha ha ha.